Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in. It is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's going to be 3 hours of fantasy madness with two of the biggest idiots in the fantasy sports world. That's right.
I said it.
We're having guests on?
Yeah.
is it all those people that kept saying, no, I think CJ Anderson's better than Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, really close.
It was really weird the last couple weeks in the preseason where Christian McCaffrey, you know, he had that goal line carry. It's really weird that they're practice that stuff, and that's never going to happen during the regular season. In the first quarter, he had a 2-yard touchdown, which is a goal line carry for a small guy. And then the number two was, how did he have that 71-yard touchdown if he's not that good?
Well, and don't they usually give the backups a little bit more playing time in the games?
That was in the first quarter.
Sometimes they like to play. Hey, Jeremy McNichols are running with the ones, Bogman.
How about this, the Welsh? How about C.J. Anderson scoring a fourth quarter touchdown for the Panthers in preseason game one?
I'll be honest with you.
Like them running him in the fourth quarter? That sounds like a guy, right?
There might not be anything I like more than trolling you about Christian McCaffrey. Like, and I'm a Christian McCaffrey fan. Like, I like him. I'm higher.
You had him higher than me.
I know. I do. But there's just there's something special about it that makes me so happy about trolling. But we're going to get to all of that, by the way. We're going to be this is a heavy, heavy football edition because guess what? This is a huge draft weekend, as is next weekend. And I would throw out, if you're a really smart person, it's probably the weekend after that. Do the weekend where there's like a game in 4 days. Do that as your draft weekend because the preseason screws stuff up. But this is a big draft weekend. So we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. We're going to be talking about some of the ramifications of some of the stuff that went on during the week. We're going to be talking about some of the values that have, whether it's good or bad, by the way, but there have been created some values based on injury or based on camp stuff. There's so much. Plus, a very big person in the industry, a very big fantasy name with a very, I'd say a very popular article. That is exactly how you say it. I was going to try to say it a different way, but that's exactly how you say it. A very popular article. There's no other way to say it.
You did warn everybody that we're idiots, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's okay. We're going to talk about not just the article, but it coming to an end. I think it's an important thing to talk about. So there is a bunch to get to. But okay, since you went there, let's go there right off the bat. When you guys have already gone to InThisLeague.com, make sure you've done that. Patreon.com/ITLArmy. If you guys want the full experience, the full In This League experience for your drafts and for the NFL season, go there. We've got secret shows, GroupMe rooms. Bogman just did a Thursday night with Bogman live stream. What'd you do, first half?
Yeah, I did the first half.
What game was that?
Steelers gave up about 45 points in the first half of that game the other night. So, to be honest, they weren't even on TV in preseason. I don't care about.
What was the game that you did the live stream of?
Well, we didn't even really stream a live game because I just had it on NFL Network and they were going through like the 3 or 4 games that were on Thursday night.
So pretty
like,
much a lot you of just talked Patriots to everybody. People just watched you eat food.
Yeah, I actually didn't even eat this time. I ate ahead
tokens.
Of time. And we talked about some, we talked about some football stuff, a little bit of baseball stuff. And then,
hey, guys, you want to go to a private YouTube room? I just need 200 tokens and we'll talk about Christian McCaffrey.
That's right. Christian McCaffrey. Pay me the tokens. Pay me the tokens. So no, it was fun. You know, we sat, shoot the S. I got a couple of people hit me up for, recommendations of on the adult interwebs.
Uh-huh.
And of course, I'm more than happy to pass those out. And it was fun.
Hey, so. Follow up, by the way, from 2 weeks ago, our girl Lana Rhodes, she got her Instagram account back.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah, she got about, you know what she did in celebration? She was so happy. She
immediately got it deactivated again by posting something on there.
No, I mean, she did much more embarrassing, like, I'm so happy to have it back. She decided to do a giveaway. And this is great because, like,
did it rhyme with Schmeshmite, what she was giving away?
Yeah, I'm getting there. You're jumping ahead on the story, Bachman. Thank you.
Going ahead. I'm like McCaffrey. You show me a hole, I'm going 71 yards.
You're definitely trying to. So she's like, I'm going to do a giveaway. And it's funny because, you know, like, we're a podcast. We do giveaways. Like, we're popular enough to have, you know, gotten products to do giveaways. They do it here right on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, all that type of stuff. Yeah, so you kind of know how they go. But she's like, oh, I'm doing a giveaway with a $400 value. And in it, it's not even about what's in it, but she had all the stuff in like a laundry basket, which it made me laugh because it made me think of how we will pick names in drafts where you have a pot and I have a hat and we put names in it. And she just picked the laundry basket. But in the laundry basket, it was like it was the most. You know how, like, you could imagine a stereotypical pandering to women basket would be? It'd be like lotions and, you know, and candles and soaps and stuff for
was
guys.
It the lonely guy basket?
It was like Chic razor, and it was like dude wipes, and then a oversized flashlight that is not used as a flashlight.
Oh, I see. Was there something that rhymed with some schmoob in there?
Probably
a big old bottle of schmoob.
It probably was. Yeah, it was a Lana Rhodes branded flashlight, and it was an embarrassing looking thing. But she gave
now,
it away.
The different kinds of flashlights, or just the one regular flashlight?
I know there are different forms with different bulbs inside. You know, some are halogen,
yeah,
and
some are 100
LED.
Watt, some are 50 watt. You know,
yeah,
really, it's 1 watt or 2 watt on this. So.
Yeah, no, careful how you say watt. I'm thinking of a different word.
TJ Watt, of course.
Yeah. No, it was. I think it was just one brand of flashlight.
Okay, gotcha. Oh,
I can't believe I never said that wrong. So, just giving an update since I wasn't here the whole time last week. By the way, how did that go? How any good reception you got since I was only there for hour one?
No.
Oh, okay, great.
So Dan was very excited. I did have some people hit me up and say, hey, you know, nice to hear some basketball talk. And but not, I think, a little bit of response on the college football. But I will tell you what, overall, my college football podcasts have been doing much better than they ever have this season. I don't know if you've noticed that at all. But
that's great.
Just taking a look at the numbers, they've doubled from the last couple of years.
Well,
so.
And you got two of them now. You got the one with Heisey and John Lobb over on Fantrax, and then we've got the longstanding In This League college fantasy football podcast.
That's
so,
right.
I mean, it's a big plug here of stuff. I mean, the college fantasy football podcast, it's killer. You guys should be looking at that. Plus, our football podcast, we have a great time here. We talk about lots of stuff, but you can just completely go balls to the wall if you want, because the ITL fantasy football podcast, like this past week, we just had a killer episode where we had Sigmund Bloom and John Lobb on, and we call it the Draft Forum episode. And we even had a list. Somebody tweeted at us saying this was the most informative episode they've heard the entire season. And we have that one. We have mock draft episodes. We got another one of those coming up. So make sure InThisLeague.com. If you're in this league, people know what to do. But if you happen to just be cruising the dials on FNTSY and catching it, InThisLeague.com, come have fun with us. So there's a lot to cover, but let's talk about McCaffrey here for a minute because you just got into it. What I think is fascinating about McCaffrey as a whole is we have spent the entire offseason essentially laughing because you have had to defend Christian McCaffrey to every guest we've talked to. We also do a show on Fantrax called the Fantasy Black Book with our buddy Joe Pizzapia, and we've had a ton of guests on, a ton of really good industry guests, and every time we have somebody on, especially the last like 6 weeks, it's kind of been about crapping on Christian McCaffrey, and you have held strong here. You've held your ground that Christian Christian McCaffrey was going to be the workhorse of this team. You think he was going to lead the team in rushing. You think both numbers were going to plus up. I've said that I think, and we're talking PPR here mainly, I think that CJ Anderson is going to have a role, and it could be similar to last year when Jonathan Stewart found success. But I think Christian McCaffrey at the same time can be better. I've also questioned if he comes back a little bit in the passing game in favor of the running game, his value could level out. So where I'm getting at is I think you can get a lot of the same value from last year. So I'm in on Christian McCaffrey. Everyone else has been kind of selling us a little bit low. So for you, you felt vindication on Friday night when Christian McCaffrey not only tore that team a new a-hole, he also looked incredible on that 44-yard touchdown, which was up the middle, and you were cheering like a little schoolgirl.
Well, yeah, I mean, rush up the gut because everyone's like, no, you know, I think CJ Anderson will run between the tackles. And basically everyone is thinking that that Christian McCaffrey is going to wind up being, you know, Darren Sproles. You know what I mean? Because CJ Anderson came along. And I was saying this the other day. I think if CJ Anderson wound up in Washington, I would be pumping my fist, you know what I mean? Now that Darius Geis got hurt, of course. But if he'd wound up in Washington, I would have been happy. If he'd wound up in Detroit, I'd have been happy. But I just think that Christian McCaffrey is much, much better than people give him credit for. I think he's more like LeSean McCoy than he is like Theo Riddick. You know what I mean?
Wasn't that the pre-draft comp we heard last year when he was coming in as a rookie? And I know that was the one I think that you really liked, was when someone had put that exact thing, that it was like they saw him as a LeSean McCoy, which, by the way, was also great to hear because it wasn't the stereotypical comp of like, let's find whatever other white running back out there is to compare him to.
Right, there are none. Exactly. So, look, do I think he's going to be a 300-pound or a 300-carry dude?
Let's hope not.
Absolutely not. So, yeah, and definitely not 300 pounds. I'm much closer than he is. But, you know, I don't think that he's going to be a 300-carry guy. I don't think that he is going to be a guy like Ron Rivera says, we want to, you know, get this guy 25 to 35 touches a game. I don't think so.
Well, we talked about the over-under, too, where I set the over-under around 200. Then we had to settle on 185, and you took the over on carries, where he had 117 last year for 435 rushing yards. But he had 80 catches for 651. You take the over on the 185. Do you still believe the catches stay similar? This comes back to that conversation we had where I said,
I think his floor for catches is 65.
Okay, so if he has a 15-catch drop, but he's got a 65-carry boost,
right?
You're kind of banking that maybe the touchdowns go up a little bit, even though I think you bring in a guy like CJ Anderson to smash the ball in from the 3 or 4 yard line. But
McCaffrey got that 2 yard goal line carry in game one too. So look, if he gets, do you think, let me see. Do you think 15 touches a game is fair for him? You know, that's 10 carries or 5 catches, however you want to put it. Maybe it's 12 carries and 3 catches, something like that.
Absolutely. I
do. That's 240 touches.
Yeah.
You know, so that's about 185 rushes and 65, right around 65 carries. Maybe it's a little bit more than that. It's 240. Yeah. So, you know, spread over 16 games, you get 10 more touches. So,
again,
you know what I mean?
I'm a fan. And you know, we talked about like where we have him. I see Christian McCaffrey, when we've been doing drafts, we can't hit this enough. Running back, running back, running back. They are falling like flies. Is that the word?
Falling
dropping like flies. Why can't I say anything?
You can't say things, right?
Dude, I was in a meeting the other day. I was in like this, I don't want to call it a board meeting. I don't want it to be a board meeting so it sounds more important than it was, but it was just like a meeting.
A board meeting.
At an important table.
Welsh and I were at a board meeting.
It was a big, heavy table, a long table.
We got a cheese board. That's what
it was. Wasn't that. And they were like, I was with like 3 or 4 people, and I was trying to be all corporate-y, and I went to do an analogy, and I just lost it.
Come on.
I lost it, and I literally stopped, and I said, my friend bought me an analogy book because I can't do this. And I was able to escape the analogy because I was self-deprecating and made fun of myself. But I was like, why can't I do this? Why can't I? My brain doesn't work. We talk so much throughout the week on air. When I hear myself.
What was the one that Joe was calling you out for? God, it was so funny.
Oh, my hat.
Bank your hat.
Bank your hat. Yeah, right. Hashtag bank your hat. I don't know what it is.
So
I don't feel like I'm that stupid, but maybe it's just there. My brain doesn't work in a certain way.
Everybody has that. You know, it's funny. There was an episode of How I Met Your Mother where it's like, you know, every adult has something they just absolutely missed in their learning, wherever it was.
But I used to be good at analogies.
One of them kept calling a chameleon a chameleon. And like, do you mean chameleon? And he's like, ha, 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 I'm 35 years old.
I know what a chameleon is.
I know a chameleon when I see one. You know what I mean? And so everybody was missing that. And my my friend's dad apparently was watching like the Marco Polo commercial, right? You know, the Geico one. It's like playing Marco Polo with Marco Polo. And he's like, there is no Marco Polo. And they're like, yeah, there was. That's where that came from. Oh, people didn't just make up the Marco Polo game to play in the pool like he was a real explorer.
Yeah.
He's a smart man, you know, works in a hospital. Very, very smart.
So. Yeah, I mean, those are the dumb things. I just, like, my brain just does, it shuts down when we get to that area. Here's the deal. What I'm saying is they're falling like flies. Running backs are
dropping like flies.
I did it again. They're dropping like flies. Hashtag falling like flies.
What our show is doing. It's falling like flies.
Falling like flies. Please tweet me. Tweet me falling like flies. That's what I want to hear. But we all know this isn't a secret anymore. We've got to take running backs early. And we are faced at multiple points in drafts. Whatever type of draft you're doing, by the way. I don't care if you're doing a best ball, if you're doing a PPR slow draft, whatever type of draft you're going into, you're faced with two or three times in a spot where you're looking at need and you're comparing to talent. And the problem is, if you can just bite the bullet one time at the beginning of a draft, now you do have to be kind of put in that spot. It is tough if you know, have the fifth pick, you get, let's say, Ezekiel Elliott, and then you come back down and I don't know, AJ Green or Devontae Adams is sitting there, and then your other option is Jerick McKinnon. That is a tough spot, but what I'm getting at is if you can make the choice in the first round, you can set yourself up for the value later to not have to keep doing that with, okay, these running backs suck ass, so I'm going to just take this best wide receiver. That's what you do when you wait. So where I'm getting at is Christian McCaffrey, he's going as the 19th running back in PPR according to Fantasy Pros. I think he is a prominent wheel pick. He should be 13, 14. Don't let him get that far, because even if he's not going to be the guy, he's still going to catch a crap load of passes. So let's talk a little bit more about that when we come back. We're going to talk about maybe
guys.
Maybe the criminally underrated Christian McCaffrey, plus a bunch of other value things that are happening. There's some guys that are falling like flies off their team and off a draft board. So don't go anywhere. I'm Welsh. That's Bogman. This is In This League. You're listening on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Don't you move that face anywhere.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
In This League
is cooking.
Get your season ticket to fantasy glory now with the 2018 Roto Experts exclusive Edge fantasy football package. It's not just a draft kit, it's a full season package that takes you from draft day to championship week. And it features in-depth analysis from some of your favorite fantasy sports radio experts. Go to rotoexperts.com, use code WINNER to get 10% off on the exclusive Edge package and set aside a spot on the mantle for that 2018 championship trophy. Oh, or as we like to say, make a spot for that ring from officialfantasyrings.com. Our buddy, you want that. You can do a trophy. No, hey, no, nothing against trophies, nothing against belts, any of that stuff you want to do. But I'm telling you, our boy Greg over at officialfantasyrings.com, he does it up. Fully customized stuff. It's awesome. We've got our own In This League version of their badass rings. Michael Rappaport does it. Everyone's doing it, so you should too. Everyone's jumping off a bridge, so you should do it too. Everyone falling like flies.
They're all falling like flies. You should do it too.
So as I was going through was just with Christian McCaffrey. Like, it's been very popular to hate. Can you, by the way, remember? Because most of the hate came from I don't think Sigmund was hating on Chris McCaffrey, but most of the hate came from the Fantasy Black Book show we did. Who all was it? I know Nate Hamilton was hating.
Dolan,
Joe Dolan was hating. Who else? Or a couple other haters.
God, who do we have on just this last show?
Who do we have on? We're John. So it was John from Roto World.
John McKechnie.
Yeah, McKechnie. There you go, McKechnie.
And he hated. I mean, most of it was Nate, but he also hated McCaffrey. And I said, "Well, do you have any other takes? Like maybe a good one?"
Yeah,
and I thought that was a pretty good line.
So. But I just don't understand it. So if the consensus, like, where does that hate fully build from? Because if you go and you look on Fantasy Pros, his rank in PPR is 19th. Let's see where he's going, because I feel like he's going 18.
ADP is okay, so he's still going 18. Okay.
Yeah, he's going 18. I don't see why that's so much of a problem. Why is there such a count for regression? Like, I get some of the other stuff. CJ Anderson is a better running back than Jonathan Stewart. CJ Anderson is going to be a prominent piece of this offense. I know you don't agree. I think that's going to happen. But you know what that's meant
for? Well, he definitely has a role, but I think the deal with McCaffrey is, to me anyway, last year he was a rookie. He was learning about the NFL. It was the first time he went through a 16-game season, and he looked pretty damn good, you know? So I think that this season, why wouldn't they look to expand his role?
But see, this is where I've sat with the running back situation, Bogman, is I think both. I think CJ Anderson could be a little bit better than Jonathan Stewart. And I think Christian McCaffrey, like you just said, is going to play a bigger role in the offense. This is why I'm not big on the receiving end of Carolina. I'm not big on Devin Funchess. No thanks. I'm not huge on DJ Moore. You know, you and me have had those arguments about DJ Moore as a wide receiver 3 in fantasy. I just don't think anybody in Carolina outside of Christian McCaffrey is really. I think Christian McCaffrey is going to lead this team in receptions, and I think there's a fair chance he could lead in yards. I think it could be him or Greg Olsen.
I think DJ Moore is going to have a decent early role because I think he's better than Funchess immediately from day one. So I just think that, you know, I'm with you, and I know Greg Olsen is back, but Greg Olsen is also much older, you know, and he's coming off an injury. You know, it's not that I discount Greg Olsen, but to be honest with you, I like DJ Moore. I'm a guy that's talked him up, but I prefer him as my wide receiver 4. If I'm in a big league, if I'm in a 16-man league, he's my wide receiver 3, I'm okay with that. But I've had leagues where he's fallen. He's my wide receiver 5 in one of my leagues. Yeah, if I can get him there, great.
It's not the worst thing in the world if that happens. But
right.
All of that points to that, like, it feels like Christian McCaffrey is becoming one of the poster children for bust this year. Which, you know who the other guy is? I'm curious your thoughts on this. We haven't talked about this. What do you think about the resurgence of this Kareem Hunt hate that's going on right now? Have you seen this?
Have you heard about this? Yeah, I mean, I've definitely seen it. To be honest, I don't know that it's so much. I guess it is a little hateful on Kareem Hunt. I think people are just worried, you know.
People think he can't run down the middle. People are worried about the emergence of Spencer Ware. People just seem to think that, like, natural regret. Kareem Hunt, what did he lead the NFL in rushing yards last year? Hey, guess what? He might regress a little bit. You know what? You know what I mean? Like, they might try to not have him be the biggest force of that offense. They've got a rookie quarterback. They might want Tyreek Hill, and they've got Sammy Watkins in there to, you know, they might spread them out a little bit. You might want to dabble in Spencer Ware. There are so little teams that want to depend on one running back anymore.
Right.
You can count them on your hand right now.
Right, right.
One hand.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I think having those early picks, you know, especially the top two with Gurley and Bell, but, you know, even with Zeke and David Johnson, a lot of people are putting Barkley in there already, and I love Barkley more than most people do. I don't know if I'm ready to put him way up there.
That make you extend, like, the top 5 is the comfortable range, or is it, like, I feel like it's the top 4.
To be honest, it might be the top 6. Because people might start, because of all these, like, middle tier running back injuries, people might start just doing, you know, this bit where, you know what, I know Antonio Brown's available, I know he's amazing, but I just can't be saddled with one of these second tier running
backs.
Who's
the 6th then? Is it Kamara?
Kamara.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, Kamara. Like, to me, there's the top 4, and then that's tier 1. There's tier 2 of Usually the three players are AB, Barkley, Kamara, but I feel like AB is going to start falling in a bunch of drafts for a couple reasons. Number one is the running back injuries, but number two is this little, you know, calf strain that's been bothering him. But I mean, look, Barkley has a hamstring strain that's bothering him. These are
those
early.
Are so big. Of course, they're strained out. They can't have those hamstrings so big they can't. They're going to tighten up
Eli's
a little bit.
Eli's like, don't worry about it. I'll massage it for you,
come
muscle.
Come here, Saquon. Bring
come
those muscle
here.
Muscle
use
quadriceps.
My strong hand, child.
See them quads and them quadriceps and them groins.
But I just think that AB is going to start falling in the first round. I think he's going to start going seven in a lot of places. And I feel like Hopkins is going to fall out of the first round. And Odell has kind of already been on that, you know, that wheel pick where he's usually between 10 and 14. Maybe he drops even further because people are just so obsessed with getting the running backs. I just think that getting one of those top four picks is just an insane advantage.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. Because you know how there's a big resurgence of, I don't know how many people do this. I'd love to know, by the way. You could tweet us, is at the Welsh Bogman Sports, if you implement this. I've only seen this over the last couple of years, where what people are doing now is they pick a draft order, but that's not the draft order. They pick an order which then goes to people deciding which pick they want. So the person that gets the number one pick, they get to choose which pick they want. So down the line, where I'm going with this, if you got the fifth choice and picks 1, 2, 3, 4 went, would you pick, I want pick 5, or would you jump to the wheel and say 12 based on, like, you're going to know, you're probably going to get some combination of Dalvin Cook, Kareem Hunt, Christian McCaffrey, and Leonard Fournette. You got a decent chance to get a combination of two of those players. Would you stick at 5, or would you now move to 12? Because that second guy that you're going to get, like, maybe you can get McKinnon, maybe you get Jordan Howard, but because of the wide receivers dropping, you have a better opportunity. You're probably going to get a guy like Mike Evans or AJ Green.
I mean, I know this is a lame answer, but I think it depends on if it's PPR standard. I really do think
PPR.
I know you hate that. PPR, okay. PPR, I'm going to go 12. So because I think I'm more comfortable taking a wide receiver in PPR, but I'm not. To be honest, in standard, I don't hate doing Barkley at 5. I don't hate skipping Antonio Brown and taking Barkley at 5. I don't know that I would personally do it because I'm just a flat out AB homer, but I don't mind that at all because of just the running backs that go, man. The running backs are all going to be taken by the time you get to that second pick, and you're stuck with that mix of, do you want to take, now you're taking Jordan Howard or Joe Mixon a little bit higher. You know, I think Jerick McKinnon is falling a little bit because of this MRI signing Alfred Morris and all that's garbage. But, you know, I think that you're kind of stuck in that mix, and I don't know how many leagues I can take having Joe Mixon in.
I've
drawn pick number 5, which is probably the worst pick for this season, in like 5 drafts. I have multiple shares of Antonio Brown this season.
Do you think that's
also
the
have
worst?
Multiple
I feel
shares
like,
of stupid Mixon and Jordan Howard.
I feel like 9 is like a bad spot because 9.
Sometimes you can get Fournette at 9 though, and I don't mind that.
Yeah, well, you could. That's a good point. I guess because I look at it because you know Kamara's gone, Gordon's probably gone, and then one of Fournette or Hunt are probably gone. You know,
or some, Hopkins.
Yeah, so I mean, you're facing at 9 of taking Hopkins or Fournette, but then coming back. You know, the best running backs are probably gone, though you could be faced with a guy like Christian McCaffrey. That's a best case scenario for me because I feel like I want to dabble in the 3rd, 4th, 5th round wide receivers in a best case scenario because look at the amount of injuries that we've been dealing with. Look at the uncertainty that's been created.
We didn't even say Melvin Gordon either. Like, I think that 12 pick is good because you're getting, you know, Hunt, Gordon, Fournette, Cook, McCaffrey, right? So, I mean, if you take AB at 5, what's the best scenario that happens to you? Have Freeman falls?
I mean, maybe. If you want to really get into, quote, best case scenario, maybe that's, I just don't think it happens. I think it's Howard or McKinnon or Mixon. Or if you're a gambler, you go with LeSean McCoy. So that's where you would sit with that. So let's talk about one of the reasons why this, and this is, none of this is like new news, but the new stuff has come from the coaching decisions, and it's come from the reactions to preseason games. Here's already what has happened. Rashad Penny, broken finger. Or I think it's a broken finger, not a broken hand. Is that right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, so broken finger. He's going to miss the entire preseason. Sony Michel, I don't even remember what it was, the entire preseason.
It's a knee cleanup procedure.
Hey, Jerick McKinnon is out the entire preseason now, which is going to create some value. Jamal Williams with the Packers, he tweaked his ankle. Rex Burkhead has a small tear in his knee.
Why don't we wrap these MFers in bubble wrap until the season starts?
How about we just don't play them? How about they play Madden? Let's do that. Let's play Madden for a little bit.
But how about some simulated games like the pitchers do in the backfields?
That's a good point. Some little VR. Everyone's trying to figure out how to get VR back into this, right? Right, Bob? I know you into a different VR.
I'm into VR. I'll try it. I'll try anything once. Most things once.
You pay for it?
For VR? Yeah. No. I don't think we're there yet.
Oh, we're not quite there yet. Okay. Are we talking about flashlights again? What are we talking about? Are we talking about football?
We can talk about whatever you want.
No. your voice dropped a couple octaves there, so let's not talk.
Whatever you want to talk about, man. I'm an open book. All right. So talk about it.
But you've got, I mean, I agree. All these situations are stupid. But what is happening, though, is we might be getting some of the this like fake value that's being created. And what I'm getting at it is that middle running back spot, that third, fourth round. I know there's lots of people. I've tried to like dig it out of people we've interviewed where I just want to be like, doesn't this suck?
And everyone trying to scoop their eyeballs out when you're waterboarding them.
Yeah. Well, that's apparently I'm very aggressive on the Black Book show. But what I'm getting at is like, I'm always trying to be like, I want people to admit this spot sucks. If you're deciding with your first running back between Jay Ajayi or Lamar Miller or any of those guys, this sucks. And no one will fully admit it because everyone will kind of break back and be like, no, you know, Kenyon Drake. It's a crappy situation. So what we've needed is we need a little bit of value. Not just Jesus. I mean, we might, but we need a little bit of value created. And that's what started to happen. Guess what? Buccaneers, Peyton Barber's our starter. Ronald Jones value. Rashad Penny, there was a two-day gap where we got some value on him. And I was able to take advantage of it in this 16-man slow draft super flex that we're doing. And we did this crazy scoring. I don't know which one I got him in. Actually, I think it was a crazy scoring one. And I got him in like the 70s or something because he's already back practicing. Rex Burkhead, this quote, small tear is going to scare people off, but I think he's going to be fine. Jamal, what I'm getting is all these guys, these little bang-ups, I think they're okay because what it's going to do is it's going to start to level the playing field out a little bit with the running backs, but it is going to top-heavy them maybe more. And where I think you were going with this earlier in the show was to say that you think maybe some of the wide receivers are going to fall. Do you think it's a possibility we could see an all-running back first round in some drafts?
No, I think that AB will still go somewhere. Like whether he's falling down to 8, 9, 10, I just don't see him falling out of the top round. I think Hopkins in most first rounds will still go.
Well, I know in there. Most, but dude, I mean, I think, okay, AB aside, I think there's a distinct possibility we could start to see 11 of 12 picks go running backs right now, which is creating the ultimate wide receiver value, which then when the value levels out in the late second to third round, these guys where we're forcing ourselves to take running backs, maybe we can start having some of these players fall back into the fourth and fifth. Rashad Penny is falling into the sixth and seventh. Ronald Jones is falling back. This is what we need to make the situation okay. Otherwise, I really do think it's going to become a bloodbath and people are going to be pissed about the spots that you're drafting him. And if you have to take Derrick Henry and Kenyon Drake as your starting running backs, you better damn well hope you got Odell and Julio Jones as your starting wide receivers.
Yeah, and that's the situation a lot of people are falling into. And I've definitely done that in a couple drafts, too, where I pick on that back end. I'm just not liking the wide receivers, you know, or, you know, one situation I had, I had Hopkins and Odell. And I was like, well, I have to do this.
I did that in one of ours, too. I think I got Odell and Julio Jones in a 16-man. I think it was it wasn't the Superflex. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But I that's where I went in one of those drafts. And it forced my hand. No, you know what? I think it was the Superflex one we did, Boggs.
Yeah, and I mean, in those situations, you just have to go, you know, well, there's just too much value here, and I have to do this, and I know the guys that I like in those, you know, back-end rounds. So you have to have, if you are going to skew from the running back, double tap, in the first and second rounds, you have to know who is going to be there for you to take. And to be honest, sometimes it's going to be ugly, but a lot of the times that third wide receiver is ugly. You know what I mean? There's a lot of leagues where people are going to be starting DJ Moore. And I don't necessarily like starting him. You know, you're going to be starting Nelson Aguilar, FU. You don't want to start Nelson Aguilar, but I tell you what's going to be happening in a bunch of leagues is y'all are going to be taking Christian McCaffrey much higher than you feel good about. And you're going to love me at the end of the year. That's what's going
to
happen.
Oh, boy, man. You are going to be so attached to Christian McCaffrey. I'll tell you, it is going to be fun to watch. I wonder how much people are going to buy into. I feel like these week 2 and 3 are going to be the biggest one where people start to bite into some reactions. You can see it going heavy. Hype. It's a big old hype. Well, we're going to talk some more about some of the week 2 stuff because, ladies and gentlemen, we have a starting quarterback down. So guess what? Know. Rookie up, flies are falling down, or whatever it is. So don't go anywhere. That's Bogman. I'm Welsh. We're in this league. We'll be back. It's a Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It is football draft edition, all 3 hours. Let's go.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
You can't believe what fell. All your dreams missed. Pops down the drain. Let's play some
In This League.
That's right. Let's do some DailyRoto.com because DailyRoto.com is putting more than $25,000 on the line for its subscribers this NFL season, entering paid contests on FanDuel and bringing you along for the free roll. Have the chance to win big this year alongside Sports Grid CEO Jeremy Stein, one of the only men to have won 2 separate $1 million prizes. Each week, we'll be selecting lucky subscribers to sweat with us and split 50% of the profits. No profits that week? No worries. Your name will get tossed back into the hat the following week. So head to dailyroto.com/sweat and learn how to get in the action and share. And for your share of $25,000 in action, that's dailyroto.com/sweat. Ooh, I tripped over that a little bit. I got a little bit sweaty. I got a little verklumped there thinking about that. So wait a minute.
You say verklumped?
Verklumped. It's in my head.
Verklempt sounds like verklempt.
It's in my head.
Verklempt sounds like a German sect of the Klumps.
Verklempt from the Nutty Professor. Out of my head. I think so. Is this verklempt out of my head? I think so. But
show me a London evening.
So you just have
flowers and candy.
You just have to be a part of Daily Roto, and then they're gonna play games. And you get 50% of it if they win?
You get verklumped.
I'll get verklumped for 50% of a $1 million prize.
Hey, you know, there's worse than getting verklumped for $50. So,
is there?
You know, there's worse jobs out there is what I'm saying.
Sometimes you got to pay extra to get verklumped. You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean, Bogman? Do you know what I am saying?
Do you know what I am saying? I watched that episode the other night. Dude, you don't have to keep. I understand what you're saying, sir. You don't have to keep repeating yourself.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Do you know what I am saying?
We have already lost a starting quarterback in the NFL due to preseason.
You want to make some real mother effing money?
Are you done?
Sorry.
Are you done? Yeah. You know what the worst thing about Bogman is? It's not worse. Maybe it's good. But like, it is not in your nature to be able to not finish a bit. Like when there's some type of a little gimmick or a joke or a scene from a movie, you can't not finish it or you get like shaky.
Got to go through the whole thing. You know, it's that's my drugs right there.
So, I mean, it's a little bit of a fake tease there. It's not a big deal. But the Buffalo Bills, if it already wasn't a horrible situation, I think, like, their quarterback situation was at least just made for them because A.J. McCarron suffered a broken collarbone in game two of the preseason. It was against the Browns. Ooh, so maybe that'll be on Hard Knocks, which, ooh, by the way, let's talk about Hard Knocks here in a little bit because I am finally caught up.
Oh, you're caught up?
Yeah, I'm caught up. Okay. And that leads to Josh Allen, who was 9 for 13, 60 yards, and had a touchdown in Friday's preseason game. How many rookie quarterbacks do you think we're going to have started in week one?
At least two. I think Josh Allen is now going to wind up starting because Peter Mitch is not that good. And I think Sam Darnold is easily the starter in New York. So
it's not. Yeah, it was never going to be Peterman, though, right? It was always going to be McCarron.
I mean, Peterman has experience, and I know a lot of people are laughing and saying, well, yeah, but what kind of experience did he have? Because he threw the four
bow hunting experience
in the first half. But, you know, it's not very good experience, but he is experienced as an NFL passer. And what we know about Josh Allen is, outside of his terrible tweets, is he's insanely raw, right? A huge arm, but just as many bad throws as he has good throws. And that's not going to cut it in the NFL. That's for sure. So, but Peterman has not looked great, and Josh Allen's looked pretty good in camp.
You could see a stupid team, though, being like, we're going to go with the veteran, and we're going to start Nate Peterman. But at the end of the day, ironically, the two rookie quarterbacks to start week one are coming out of the same division. It should be Josh Allen and Sam Darnold, Lego head.
Right, right. It definitely should be. I mean, to be honest, like, I understand where, like, Buffalo's like, well, what do we have to lose? You know what I mean? But Buffalo was a playoff team last year. The squad.
Are they going to be one this year?
No. I mean, I wouldn't put any money on it at all for them to make the playoffs. But I think that you can also set a guy's career back if you do throw him out there too soon when he is as raw as Josh.
No, I agree. I mean, that's a lot of people. I heard a conversation. Who the hell was it? It was an interview that had it was Kyle Shanahan who talked about Johnny Manziel, how screwed up, you know, his NFL career got simply because he was thrown to the wolves so early. Yeah, but I mean, it was Cleveland, but still, it was the idea that, you know, this guy got thrown in way before he should have, the pressure that was also built on it. You start to get into bad habits, and it's a tumble. Think about how Aaron Rodgers was. Aaron Rodgers had to sit his ass for 3 years. Not that that's the measure, by the way, to become a great quarterback, but there is part of that, like, let's let these guys let's let them marinate for a little bit. Jimmy Garoppolo, another perfect example.
Right. There's plenty of guys that can come in and play, you know, and plenty of guys that can do that. And
do you really think any of the guys from this class, though, are that?
I think Darnold is probably the closest. So, I think that he's just like, for the Jets are really like, well, what do we have to lose, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we're picking number two in the draft this year. So is it going to get much worse for us if we put in Sam Darnold? No, it's not. I love that stat about how Josh McCown and Tom Brady have the exact same amount of losses in their career. But Tom Brady started something like 500 more games than Josh McCown has.
That's incredible.
It's something stupid like that. But, you know, I would love to see Lamar Jackson get a chance this year. I don't know that it's going to happen, and if it does, we know that it's going to be at the back end of the year. You know, Baker, same deal. I don't know if he's going to get a chance at all. He's looked really good so far in the preseason and in camps and all that stuff. So I think Baker also could have been a guy that could come in and step in, but why would you when you have Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah, I mean, they seem so committed to it. Speaking of which, there's a couple things with it. So I was a little behind on Hard Knocks, so I caught up with it, and I thought it was fascinating how you had the whole second episode start, or not, I say like the whole episode, but the episode starts with Corey Coleman, and you got his stupid shoe thing, and then he was like crying, like he walked in, he was like, oh, you got why on the second team? Why am I on the second team? You should train me. Like, I was like, are you crying?
And then they're like, okay,
yeah. Yeah, we got one for you. Welcome to Buffalo, bitch. That's where you're going to play now. You're going to play in Buffalo, where he did last night. He had a catch, 1 for 7 yards, and good for him. Corey Coleman, you're now going to have Josh Allen throwing you passes. And
My favorite part of that was the announcer who said, Corey Coleman and his 1,000 pair of shoes are now shipped off to Buffalo. I don't know why. Like, but the way he said it was so degrading.
So condescending. I mean, like, each so little funny. Box is going to be sent to Buffalo in the cold snow with Corey Coleman as he welcomes
like,
his new
take
team.
Take your effing shoes and get out of here.
The entitlement, too. Like, where does Corey Coleman come off? What have you accomplished?
What
man?
Have you done? What would you say you do here?
The best thing he's done is collect shoes. He has more shoes than yards in the NFL. How many yards does he have in his career? Is that true?
He definitely. I think that's absolutely true. And he definitely could
Buckman,
have got them.
718 career yards. He has more shoes than he has career yards. That's a
insane.
Stat for you, damn it.
That is insane. They had a chance. Cleveland had a chance to beat Pittsburgh's JV squad week 17 last year because, you know, it was the stupid Landry Jones show and all the backup show last year at the end of the year. And Corey Coleman had a chance to catch a touchdown at the end of the game to win it, and he dropped it. And everybody made the joke because that was New Year's Eve. Like, Cleveland doesn't have to watch the ball drop because Corey Coleman already did it.
I was shocked. I mean, we all get emotional and stuff. But, like, when he walks into Hugh Jackson's office and is like, he just confronts him. Like, straight up. He's just like, why am I on the second team? And Hugh's like, what? Like, why am I on the second team? And you can take that up with Todd. And then he's like, y'all go use me. You trade me. Like, shut up, dude. Like, I, like... What is the Baylor wide receivers? But the other end of it is Hard Knocks is fascinating watching the rest of these guys. Like Tyrod Taylor sitting there and how like him and Baker Mayfield are working. You know what one of my favorite quotes was? Shockingly, it was from Todd Haley. I mean, Todd Haley, he's like a clip machine. That guy is a quote machine, anything he says. But when he goes up
to
Jarvis...
Will you say he's the clip commander?
Yeah, he's a clip commander. That's right. enunciation is important with that. No, but where he goes up to Jarvis after, you know, that game and stupid Antonio Callaway and his dumbass with all his stuff. And he goes to Jarvis and he's like, you need to take him under your wing. I don't care if he needs to stay at your house. He's like, you need to take care of him. And then he says something else, and he's like, because Larry Fitzgerald would do that. And when he walked away and said that, I was like, oh, snap. You just played the Larry Fitzgerald card. When you play that card, it's for real.
I mean, I get what he's saying, but do you really want, like...
I wouldn't want that pothead in my house.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Around your kids and everything. Like,
going to taint up his cars. We already know he drops roaches in cars. Why would Jarvis Landry want him around?
I like when he's like, are you really going to use that? And he's like, well, I have to, man. You know, like when he's telling the story about the cop, when he's like, are you really going to use that little roach?
What did
he's like, well,
do?
I have to.
Do you see how many times he almost cried too? Like, if people don't understand, like, this is why you should be watching Hard Knocks. He was caught on a Sunday night. No one knew through an entire practice. He didn't tell anybody.
And people were going up to him like, are you
what's
all right?
Wrong? Everybody.
You okay?
Hugh Jackson, Todd Haley, players, what's wrong with you? And he just gave them this dead-eye, empty stare. And there was that weird interaction. It was like, I think him and Haley. And he just kept staring at him. And then it was like, then the next day, they knew what you did, you idiot.
By the way,
of course.
How did Hard Knocks get that clip of the cop pulling him
over?
Oh,
they probably got a release from the... from the police, you know, department.
The
they just released
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I guess, you know, because
police,
it was...
Yeah, I mean, to be honest...
It was a friendly
police...
interaction with the police. So,
to say the police
like,
are
please,
like...
Please, put this on national
wow,
television.
Wow, we can release a clip where there's no cop and officer involved in the video? That's great. No one's being dragged or shot or anything like that.
Oh, I mean, we laugh, but it's not funny.
It's why Colin Kaepernick didn't sign with the Broncos, man. That's why.
Oh...
Another
That's a
story.
Whole thing too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm into Hard Knocks. I'm so into Hard Knocks. I'm into the guys. Oh, this.
You know where Antonio Callaway went to Florida? I ruined it.
went
to college.
Florida?
Went to Florida. And I just told you that stat last week where the decommits from Florida have more stars than the commits to Florida. It's pretty funny.
We should have like an all-time team. That remember how I told you one of my favorite things to do in Madden was I like to make the all-college team. So if anyone has Madden and you ever want to do this, this is one of the things I would Wait,
maybe now you kind of have to do the all-state team because, like, you know, too many Florida schools.
Yeah, you can do that. I ended up having to do that because, like, if you're the Cardinals in Arizona, you'd have to probably take U of A and ASU. And but then, like, with states, you get to kind of mix it up. So, like, I'd give the Niners maybe, you know, Cal, or I give maybe them Stanford, and then the Raiders would get Cal, or, you know, you do the Southern teams, or, you know, however you want to mess around with it. Well, now they got the Rams and the Chargers, so you get to do that. But I always love putting those together, and I would do those in Madden, and instead of playing the game, I'd make these rosters. Now, since there's so many Florida teams, you could have, like, the Dolphins be the actual Florida team, and then you could have the Buccaneers, since they're Pirates, they could be the decommits from Florida.
Ah, that's funny. Okay. Yeah, it was Hard Knocks has been pretty, it's been fairly good this season.
So here's what I wanted to ask you, though, outside of, because I think the Browns are fascinating. Carlos Hyde looked really good in Friday night's preseason game. Nick Chubb,
he's still going at running back 37.
You and me, biggest pushers of Carlos Hyde. He's a dude, but I would say here's a reason why. Because Nick Chubb also looked good. He had 11 carries, 53 yards, and a touchdown. He's going to compete for some of that. Now, here is something I'm curious to get your take on from Hard Knocks. I think there's going to be a personal level that everyone's going to start to take on players. You know, you see Tyrod Taylor. I think people are going to, like, just hearing him talk and hearing how the, you know, the team treats him. I think people are going to start to become more comfortable thinking he's going to keep his job as a leader quarterback. So, keep moving along. I think, you know, if you start to see maybe Carlos Hyde, Nick Chubb, people seeing Jarvis Landry, Antonio Callaway, you know, people might have, you know, more of attention to. I think he actually might start going in the back end of drafts. But I think the Hard Knocks effect is going to take its biggest toll on David Njoku. Hard Knocks is just oozing over David Njoku when he takes his shirt off.
And they should be.
And he is insane. I think, where is David Njoku going right now? Let me look here. I've got tight ends.
It's late among, I think he's going like 8 or 9.
He's going he's already up at 12. He's actually moved up.
He's moved up. He's at 12. I thought he was higher than that.
No, I think he was around 14. He was usually going behind George Kittle. He's already moved up. I will bet you David Njoku could move up to 10. By the time we get into next weekend's big drafts, I think he could be going as he's already a number one drafted tight end. I think he's going to be inside the top 10. Not to say that it's not warranted, but I think there's a little bit of a Hard Knocks effect.
Yeah, I mean, I also think there's a little bit of 2 touchdowns effect in that first game. He just looked really good, and he had a good season last year for a rookie. You know, I think the worry with Njoku was, well, they've got Gordon, who's obviously not there yet, which we should talk about in a second here.
Yeah, he's got his own stuff.
But Gordon's not there. You know, Jarvis Landry led the league in receptions last year. He's there. And it looks like, you know, Dez Bryant is kind of in orbit here. We don't know what he's going to do.
Well, there was an early report Friday morning where he was staying in Cleveland till a deal got worked out. And then later in the day, it was he gone. He's gone. No deal. Not that it's closed or anything, but no deal was struck with him.
Huh. And that dude has to get a job, man. You got to go to work. Well, you're not a running back. You know, if
there's
he was
multiple
a running back, everyone would be asking him to sign.
But look at all these guys that don't have jobs. I mean, Dez Bryant sitting around having a job. Josh Gordon, I mean, he's got a job, but he still hasn't reported to camp. And we're going to talk about that. So that's a great point. So here is where we're going to go in hour two. There is a running back being taken in the borderline first to second round that may no longer be a full-on workhorse and actually might have the biggest concern of a shared carry situation than any other guy. That's a problem. We got to talk about it because we talked about it with Sigmund Bloom on one of our episodes, but there are more reports coming out. We're going to cover that. We're going to talk about Josh Gordon and what you do because now it's crunch time. I was just faced with this in one of our drafts, in a slow draft. Josh Gordon is falling because there's brand new allegations. So it's not just about the allegations. When the hell is this guy going to come up? Plus, we've got a ton more. We got to go through more camp stuff, more draft conversation. And as we talked about before, one of the more, you know, cherished fantasy people and one of the very more popular articles that exist out there is ending. And we'll talk about that. And also, you know, crap on it a little bit. Crap on some of the decisions. That's the fun thing. That's what you do with articles is you look at them and you pick apart how it doesn't feed your narrative, Bogman. We do that
best. That's right. That's right. No one can beat a narrative to death better than us.
That's right. Or a segment. So we beat that segment down. We're going to beat some more up. We got six more to go. Two more hours of In This League, so don't go anywhere. That's Bogman. I'm the Welsh. Stick around. We'll be right back.